The governor takes some heat for joining Donald Trump on the campaign trail.
Major funding for Reporters Roundtable with Michael Aaron is provided by NJM Auto Insurance and More for New Jersey Business and Industry Association members, their employees, and all Garden State public sector workers. Promotional support provided by New Jersey Business Magazine, the magazine of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, reporting to executive and legislative leaders in all 21 counties of the Garden State since 1954. New Jersey Realtors, the voice for real estate in New Jersey. More information is online at njrealtor.com.
Chris Christie faces a fresh call to resign and says no way. The legislature moves forward on North Jersey casinos. A state takeover of Atlantic City faces a roadblock in the assembly, and the state Supreme Court addresses cost of living increases in the pension system. Welcome to Reporters Roundtable. I'm Michael Aaron. With us this week, Alfred Doblin of the Bergen Record, David Cruz of NJTV News, and Brent Johnson of NJ Advanced Media. Governor Christie took considerable heat for campaigning with Donald Trump Monday and skipping a state trooper's funeral. The New York Daily News ran some nasty front page headlines on Tuesday and Wednesday. Christie explained that he and Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno always split these duties depending on their schedules. Christie said he was scheduled to attend a groundbreaking in Essex County that day, so Guadagno said she'd handle the funeral. He ultimately canceled the Essex event to join the Trump campaign, but he said it was all just part of normal protocol.
Over the last 6.5 years, the Lieutenant Governor and I have determined ourselves who's going to go to any of these tragic events that occur. Last week, well before I even was invited to come on Monday and campaign with Donald Trump, the Lieutenant Governor and I had decided that she was going to attend the funeral on Monday. So even if I had decided to remain in the state, I would not have attended the funeral the Lieutenant Governor would have. We've split those up over the course of time, depending upon our own schedules and other circumstances that are going on in the state. So this is no different than what we've done over the last 6.5 years.
So, Brent, was that a satisfactory answer as to why he wasn't there?
Well, clearly not for the Daily News. So, it makes logistical sense, but I think some critics are looking at this as he's being cavalier, that more cavalier than he usually is, that, you know, maybe you should have given condolences and then said I wasn't going to be there.
Well, he did say that he signed an executive order expressing the state's sympathy, and he had ordered the flags lowered to half staff. So that's an additional piece of his response.
Yes. It's just things aren't going as well for him now as they were 3 years ago, and it's showing in all different kinds of ways, even after he's done running for president. So this seems to be the norm now for Chris Christie to take fire like this.
Alfred?
Well, I had some problems with it on a couple of levels. One, he didn't miss it because of a equally significant event. You know, if the
Essex County event that he was scheduled to go to and then canceled was a groundbreaking for some honor to the late Donald Payne, Congressman Donald Payne. Go ahead.
You know, if the event that he misses the funeral for is something that you view, pick an abstract, like his son was making his confirmation, you know, okay, that's a one-time event, that makes sense. I guess the two things that bug me, one, he belonged at a groundbreaking on Monday. It's what they do when they take the dirt out of a grave site and they lower a body. So if he wanted to be a groundbreaking at Monday, he should have been at the funeral. Second, at the same time, he's deciding that this trooper's funeral is not as significant as this sort of infomercial-looking event with Donald Trump. There's a lot of controversy about his use of the troopers for all his travel, which he has no control about. He can clearly say that. But the people of New Jersey are paying for this large contingent of troopers. And these troopers have no say about traveling with him. So at the same time that Governor Christie decides, well, I don't want to go to this funeral, all the troopers who have to travel with him can't go to the funeral either. So I think it's like a double disrespect. So whether there's more scrutiny on him now than there would have been before all of the traveling for president, all right. But it's wrong.
David, satisfactory answer from the governor?
I don't know. I can't judge if it was satisfactory or not, but I think there's a certain amount of microanalysis bordering on nitpickery when it comes to the governor and when he decides to stay in the state or go to campaign or go to a funeral. I don't know that he's gone to every state trooper funeral.
Apparently he's missed the last three police officer funerals for one reason or another. I don't know the reasons in the other cases.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are not a lot of Christie defenders left out there, so you don't really get to hear the other side. But I think there's a certain amount of glee that I think we in the press are taking at pointing out every time Christie does something that people, mostly opponents, are going to criticize him
for. I had the same feeling about the story that appeared this week that said that his security detail, I guess it was during the past year while campaigning, cost the taxpayers $600,000+. And I thought, okay, that's not so much, $600,000. I mean, it is if it's yours.
$600,000 here, $600,000 there.
I suppose.
But taxpayer money is being used. I think the number that's on this on the American Express cards that we don't know what the charges are is something like 500-something thousand. So that's for the food and the lodging and all of that. This is to fund his campaign to be president of the United States. I don't see why any taxpayer in New Jersey should be paying to fund anybody's run for the presidency. And now they're sort of helping indirectly to fund Donald Trump's run for the president of the United States. They're not legitimate expenses. They're just not. He's abusing the system.
In the wake of the trooper funeral, Steve Fuller put up a website. The week before, Phil Murphy put up a website. Let's take a look at that website. Christie, doyourjoborquit.com. That was Democrat Phil Murphy a week ago. Followed by Steve Fuller this week, in light of skipping the trooper funeral, put up a website called stepdownchris.com. There are these fresh calls for him to resign. We went and did a story this week in which we spoke to Tom Moran, the editorial page editor of the Star-Ledger, who was one of the first in the state to call on Christie to resign, and asked him if he still thinks he should resign. Here's Moran, followed by Christie.
He's made it very clear that governing New Jersey is a distant second priority for him. And the endorsement of Trump was just the thing that put it over the edge. It makes him politically far more toxic in New Jersey. It makes it much less likely that Democrats will want to stand up at a podium with him, shake hands, and cut a deal on pensions. It also, I think, shows that his priority is his career.
And I could care less. I answered this question already. I'm not resigning for any of the reasons that they might want me to resign. I'm not resigning. I'm serving my next 21 months. The state is being enormously successful under our leadership. And they don't like the fact that I endorse Donald Trump. Well, that's okay. Then they can endorse somebody else.
Alfred, you're the editorial page editor of the Bergen Record. The Gannett chain editorialized 3 weeks ago that Christie should resign. The Star-Ledger did. Have you taken a position at the Record?
No, we have not. We have repeatedly said, do your job. We're not quite at that place where you should resign. I don't know what gets us there. I mean, I don't know if I would have that discussion with you in this format in terms of what would get us there. I can tell you my column today is about springboards off of these two websites. And I think what's interesting, one, they're both politically motivated. I mean, both these men want to be governor of New Jersey.
And they're both Democrats.
And Steve Fuller. But I do think the governor really doesn't care. I mean, my column is based on that at this point he should just launch a website to counter that, that just says, I don't care about you. .com, .org, whatever you want. But I really think that's the fact. And he's not going to resign. I don't see anything that's going to force him to resign. He may resign if somebody offers him, hypothetically, a job in a presidential administration or in something else that's attractive to him. But I don't see him being shamed into resigning.
He, at that press conference on Tuesday, his one press event so far this week in the state, he lit into the people who are counting how many days he's been in state and out of state. He said that when he goes around the state, nobody asks him about that except reporters. and that we're the only ones who care. What's your sense of that?
We're the only ones that live in New Jersey, I guess, though. You know, I mean, someone in Pennsylvania might not care that he doesn't show up for his job. But, you know, it's just been a continuous stream of situations that he can wiggle out of. He finds these new ways to say, to stave off the criticism. Like when he said, when I was at 30%, that this just shows that people want me to come back to New Jersey. He has a very Trump-like, Trump does that too. They find ways to get around. That's what politicians do. So, you know, this may be there may be a lot of criticism on him right now, but he's still surviving. That's the thing. I mean, he's still governor. He's not going to resign. You know, if he's not vice president with Donald Trump.
I thought he did. I don't know if any of you were there. I was there when during this. I thought he did a decent job of defusing all of this stuff.
He's very good at that.
Yeah,
he's great at that.
And finally, on this Trump story. It looks like the New Jersey primary might count for something this year, right, David?
Who'd have thought that that would be so? I just am still amazed at the Donald Trump phenomenon. I think it's fascinating to see how the Republicans have suddenly woken up and realized that Donald Trump is, at this point, likely to be their nominee, and the terror that is just racing through the entire party. I just think that's amazing. I also like the fact that New Jersey will finally have
to cover a Trump rally here.
Yeah.
Again, we're June 7th, the same day as California, and he might need our delegates, winner take all, to help him get past or close to that 1,237 mark.
He could reopen Trump Plaza and just have a rally right there. There's a big parking lot.
It's owned by Carl Icahn, who says he won't join a Trump administration, by the way.
Well, doesn't he intend to be buried in New Jersey? I thought that was Trump. Trump, yeah.
The Bedminster Golf Course, there was talk of that.
Yeah, I thought he has plans to be buried in the state, so.
He'll cherish New Jersey.
Let's move to Atlantic City.
And fertilize it as well.
What'd you say?
And fertilize it as well.
And fertilize it, yeah. Let's move to Atlantic City. The North Jersey Casino Amendment passed both houses this week. In the Senate, the vote was 34-6, comparable margin in the Assembly. Atlantic City officials are against this. They say North Jersey casinos will hurt Atlantic City and force another couple of casinos to close, but most of the legislature, as the vote indicates, seems to believe in it. Let's hear a little bit of the byplay.
I believe New Jersey is a world-class state, and the proposal that I've seen at Liberty National Golf Course is world-class.
In the north, no longer do those buses go to Atlantic City. They go to Bethlehem in the west. They go to Yonkers in the east. We need to capture that universe.
I'd like to know if North Jersey people are going to be happy having an extra hour commute in the morning and in the afternoon on roads that were built in 1920s from a transportation fund that has no money to replace the bridges that are out of date. I don't know if they're willing to accept the amount of prostitution, the amount of drugs, the amount of crime that comes with a sin entertainment like casinos.
Brent, are you surprised at how much support there is for this in the legislature?
No, I mean, because, you know, any time they can try and find more money or a new revenue to come in doesn't surprise me. And they do seem to think there'll be thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in revenue that come in. But it's just this one thing after another that's killing Atlantic City, meaning it seems like one punch after the other that they just keep taking. It is a strange time to cover Atlantic City because there's no good news coming out of it. It just keeps, you know, they're like the opposite of a prize fighter.
Alfred, a North Jersey casino could be coming to a town near you. What's your take on this?
Well, it could be. I mean, I'm fascinated by the mayor's comment, Mayor Gordon's comment that Atlantic City is going to lose their prostitutes. I mean, I've never really heard that as the problem. Like,
no, that's not what exactly he said. Bergen County and Hudson County are going to gain some prostitutes.
But so we're not taking them from, they're not migrating from Atlantic City. We're getting a new revenue stream. I think the casino is going to be a difficult sell. I think the vote is going to be a difficult sell statewide. I don't think even there's a universal consensus in North Jersey that this is a great idea. It probably will help the Meadowlands complex if one is there, and if you believe in the pitch for Jersey City. But there's a lot of questions that people don't know. We don't know what the tax rate is going to be for these casinos. We don't really...
The tax rate would determine how much of their tax revenue goes back to Atlantic City to spur development there, and that, you're right, they haven't set that yet. And they also haven't set who would receive the money in Atlantic City or who would dole it out.
And I think that's going to affect a lot of how you can sell this to voters. Because North Jersey people, whether they want the casino or not, are kind of skeptical. Well, we're going to send all this money down to Atlantic City, but what are they going to do with it?
What about the traffic on Route 3? That's another thing the mayor was talking about. With American Dream coming to the Meadowlands and a casino, a billion-dollar world-class casino.
But is there I don't gamble, but I don't think there's like a rush hour every day for when you gamble. You know, I don't think that, like, between the hours of 6:30 in the morning to, say, 9 in the morning, everybody's going to run to gamble. I mean, if those people
That's
are going to
point.
Work, they're going to work. I think it's the same way that you saw a balance between the Jets and the Giants and American Dream in terms of how do we mitigate the possible traffic nightmares if there's a game and this new entertainment facility is open. There isn't a game every day. And the games are very specific times, and people will go to an entertainment venue over the course of a day. So I just don't see the traffic nightmare being caused by casinos.
David, how do people in Jersey City, a town you pay close attention to and live in, how do they feel about welcoming in Liberty State Park, a 95-story building?
Or? It would be near Liberty State Park in what is now pretty much empty land, walking distance from my home, actually, so that'll be convenient.
Be careful, man.
The prostitutes and the traffic. I think that it's a mixed bag. But I will say that people in the part of town where that's going to be, Greenville, really need work. And there are a lot of people there without work. And the casino, not only in its construction, but in its operation, and if there's a hotel attached to it as well, they see the opportunity for jobs. I think generally across the city, people are probably not so much in favor of it, because I think when you start discussing casinos, people automatically assume the Atlantic City example of 10 casinos and all the economic eggs in one basket. And so that's kind of what they think of when you talk about casinos with them. But this would be one casino as part of a larger scale development, which would be a little different than the Atlantic City example.
To Alfred's point, there was an Eagleton poll on this, I believe it was Eagleton. 51-44, New Jersey public is against expanding casino gambling. So a big selling job will have to be done if the voters are going to approve this.
There's economic stimulus right there. Consultants, media buyers, I mean.
Right.
It's a win-win-win-win-win.
On both sides.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the other Atlantic City legislative issue is whether the state is going to take over Atlantic City, lock, stock, and barrel. Don Guardian and Marty Small, the council president, were in the legislature on Monday when the Senate approved that bill. The vote there was, 27-9. Chris Christie is in favor of this. Vinny Prieto, the assembly speaker, says that he's against allowing the state to break collective bargaining agreements. That makes the plan a non-starter. There are two bills involved in the plan. The governor said on Tuesday that if one word in either of those bills is changed before they get to his desk, he won't sign them. And he took a shot at Prieto. Let's hear him.
The speaker is playing public sector union politics. If he wants to continue to do that, and Atlantic City runs out of money, then what happens thereafter will be the responsibility of one and only one person, the Speaker of the Assembly.
David, what's going to happen here? What are the prospects?
I have no idea, but I will tell you that it's starting to look to me like the Speaker is sort of a Phillip surrogate and, functioning in a way that would probably be beneficial to Steve Fulop in the sense that it's detrimental to the plan that the Senate president has. Uh-huh. I mean, that's the way I kind of see
that's
it just politically.
Prieto was appearing to be doing some of Fulop's bidding during the design of the North Jersey casino bill.
Yeah.
Hudson wanted it one way, South Jersey wanted it another, and Prieto took the Hudson line. So that's an interesting observation that if Fulop and Prieto are just throwing a wrench into Sweeney's takeover plan, there could be a political dimension to
it. Wouldn't be the weirdest thing that ever happened. It wouldn't be the weirdest motivation for someone.
Other thoughts on the takeover?
Well, the question is, what does happen after here? Say this doesn't pass, which it looks like right now it might not pass before the city runs out of money. They say the city could run out of money in
two weeks
or so. Yeah. So what happens, dude? Is there some other emergency action they would take? Is there bankruptcy?
Actually, I spoke to Prieto on the phone yesterday, and I believe he said that there's still plenty of mechanisms by which the state can intervene in Atlantic City without a blanket takeover that kills police and fire and municipal employee contracts, but that asserts a lot of financial controls. And rather than the city having to declare bankruptcy, the state could come in that fashion, not this fashion.
That is one thought, but then there's also the Moody's report. The Wall Street credit rating agency said that without the takeover, it will be a lot harder. So, there's give and take and arguments on each side, but either way, you're not facing a good situation. As I think Jim Whalen, the state senator and former Atlantic City mayor, said, there's nothing great about this. No one's jumping, we're going to save Atlantic City. There's a lot of work to do.
He said that as he supported the takeover
bill. Supported the takeover, but it's no one's happy.
He's opposed to the North Jersey casino amendment, but he supported the takeover bill. What's your take on takeover?
Well, I don't know either. I mean, I guess be glib and say maybe the governor should call his good friend Donald Trump, who clearly is a great negotiator, and he could get everybody in a room and within 10 minutes he could resolve this issue and Atlantic City would be saved. I do think there's some gubernatorial politics, 2017 gubernatorial politics at play. I don't think the governor will be able to just sort of sit back and say, oh, Vinny Prieto, look what you just did to Atlantic City. I mean, if everything does come crashing down in Atlantic City, Chris Christie's still the governor of New Jersey. He's still going to get tagged with a lot of the problem, even if he didn't create it, in fairness to him. It's still going to be something he is expected to figure out how to bring people together on.
The state Supreme Court on Monday, I believe, heard oral argument on the cost of living increase freeze in the pension law, the 2011 pension law. Public employee unions are suing to get their cost of living increases, which were frozen in 2011. The state is defending the governor's and the legislature's position and defending the law. I don't know if any of you were at the argument, but what are you hearing as to whether the tenor of the questioning favored the union or not? Anybody?
Well, the pension situation over the years has had gone one way and then gone another. You know, this is the biggest issue to many people in New Jersey because there's a lot of government workers in New Jersey, and this stretches across the entire state. I don't know what the Supreme Court is thinking. I haven't followed it that closely, but
I spoke to two reporters who were in the courtroom who said it sounded like, I think they said from Janie Levecchia's questioning, that the court is leaning against the unions and against restoring the cost of living increases.
It's hinging on a sentence. I don't remember the wording of the sentence, but in terms of whether
they all hinge on a sentence.
I know, but I mean, I guess this whole sort of COLA war thing is attached to whether the legislature intended to keep COLAs out of any possible increase or put it in there, and I don't really know the nuances. I think it'll be interesting, though, if it would come out that LaVecchio, let's say, was the deciding vote in favor of what the governor wants, all of a sudden I'm sure she really will be a Republican.
That's interesting. We have 1 minute left. The lead situation in the Newark schools, it's not good. It's a little alarming. It has to do with the piping into 30 Newark schools. Does this front page story increase the likelihood of getting the Transportation Trust Fund renewed. At the same time I say that, I point out that transportation doesn't necessarily have anything to do with plumbing.
Yeah. It's a terrible story, and I think as we go forward, you're going to find a lot of the school systems around the state with very similar problems, and housing authorities who are equally in really old buildings with old infrastructure as well. So, I mean, I don't know how much it's going to attract the relate to the TTF, but it's a big story.
Got to wrap it up there. Thanks very much, David, Brent, Alfred. We are off next week for the Easter holiday, back to the weekend of April 2nd and 3rd. I'm Michael Aaron. Stay tuned for On the Record. This week, a conversation with U.S. Senator Cory Booker about his recent autobiography.
Major funding for Reporters Roundtable with Michael Aaron is provided by NJM, Auto Insurance and More, for New Jersey Business and Industry Association members, their employees, and all Garden State public sector workers. Promotional support provided by New Jersey Business Magazine, the magazine of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, reporting to executive and legislative leaders in all 21 counties of the Garden State since 1954. New Jersey Realtors, the voice for real estate in New Jersey. More information is online at njrealtor.com.